Hello, greetings, dear viewers. I'm George from Ireland. Thanks for coming back to my channel. I will wash my hair one of these days, I promise. This is asking about the Ukraine war now, coming up to its fourth anniversary. Is Turkey the real winner of the war? Now, it may seem counterintuitive in as much as it's not a combatant, and Turkey has forbidden its citizens to fight on either side. Nevertheless, a handful have fought, mostly on the Ukrainian side. So they're regular troops in the Ukrainian armed forces. They're not mercenaries, despite if Russia catches any foreign volunteers in the International Legion for the Territorial Defense of Ukraine. Russia always call them mercenaries when Russia uses real mercenaries. There's a separate legal definition of mercenary, but I shan't get sidetracked into that. Look back where Turkey was on the 24th of February, 2022, and its economy was in a parlous state. There was serious inflation. Recep Tayyip Erdogan was fairly unpopular. The man who's ruled Turkey, first of all, was Prime Minister, then as Başkan since 2002. So his Adalet ve Kalkınma Partisi, Justice and Development Party, was in trouble. It was questioned whether he'd get re-elected, but he beat the Cumhuriyet Halk Partisi in the presidential election after that narrowly. His narrowest ever victory. He subsequently announced he's going to retire because he's in his 70s. So there were demonstrations against him. There was serious economic pressure on him, partly because there was coronavirus, and tourism is a major earner for Turkey. And obviously that was down to 2020, 2021, very little of that. I went to Turkey in 2020. It was doable, but, you know, it was more difficult. So they're a bit worried about this. This war could seriously affect them. They trade a lot with Russia, significant amount with Ukraine. If these economies are down, it's going to impact them. If Russia conquers Ukraine, will they, who will they move on to? Remember, Turkey and Russia were enemies for centuries. They fought six wars in 200 years. If you look from the 18th century into the early 20th century, and remember, for a while, the Crimean Peninsula was part of the Ottoman Empire. So they've been sparring partners as 2015. Turkey shot down a Russian fighter jet that entered Turkish airspace only for about a second. But it shows that if Russia, if met with firmness, will back down. And Putin was hacked off about that. He cancelled flights to Turkey to really impact the Turkish tourist sector. So it hurt the Turks economically, but he didn't dare intrude into their airspace again, nor did he shoot down any of them, their planes. Remember, Turkey is a member of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, is not a member of the European Union. People keep banging on about, you know, NATO policy towards Ukraine. Well, there isn't one, really. It's true that most NATO states are very supportive of Ukraine, but Turkey is not. Turkey is studiously neutral and has introduced no sanctions on Russia whatsoever. So it's been a bonanza from them, because Russian tourists can't go to an awful lot of other destinations, or not as easily. They go to Turkey. Even if they are transiting on to sanctioning countries, they have to change planes. Usually in Istanbul, somewhere like Baku, or they go to Dubai or whatever. So avoiding military service, some Turks have moved there. Russians have moved there. They've got Turkish citizenship through buying property and blah, blah, blah. So it's actually been happy days for the Turks. So you can see the advantages of accrued neutrality. They even facilitated peace talks in the first few weeks of the war, some of them in Belarus. But obviously, you know, Belarus seemed to be little more than an adjunct of Russia, so perhaps not the ideal forum for these peace talks. But then Putin believed it was simply a liquidator's orders for Ukraine. So they're performing this balancing act between the Turks. They've decided not to take sides. The Turkish government has said they support Ukraine's territorial integrity without specifically stating which regions are part of Ukraine and so forth. So Turkey's emerged as more of a regional power because of this. It's offered to mediate between these peace talks. It's tried to broker ceasefires, prisoner exchanges. Most of them have actually been brokered by the United Arab Emirates or indeed Saudi Arabia, both of which have rolled out the red carpet for Putin. State visits during this, not for Zelensky, I don't think. Remember that grain agreement in the summer of 2022, and that particularly benefited Turkey, was a major purchaser of Ukrainian grain. Some stolen Ukrainian grain was sold by the Russians to the Turks. Remember, the Turks control the only access to an egress from the Black Sea, the Bosphorus Straits, which flow through Istanbul, is only 800 meters across its narrowest point. From there, sail out into the Sea of Marmaris, the Aegean Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, and then all the seas of the oceans of the world. And obviously, so that's a vital waterway for them both. So it's a choke point. And the Turks are upholding the Evreux Convention, which is to say, in time of war, warships of neither protagonist will be allowed to sail into or out of the Black Sea. So they control this critically important strategic position. So they also produce these 155mm shells, which are the NATO standard, and they've upped the production of those, partly for their own usage because the war could spread to them, but to sell to other countries. So actually, it's done well for them. So some countries are annoyed with the way Ankara's triangulated between the two. So it's an even bigger partner for Russian oil and gas than before. I don't know if Russia's selling it as much of a discount. But if these things were in short supply, it would hurt Turkey's brittle economy. So some of them are starting to invest more in Ukraine. There are a lot of Turkish construction companies, and they will pay bribes. They won't be prosecuted at home. Western countries, if you pay a bribe abroad, that's it. It's jail at home. But the Turks, one of the advantages is they will cross your palm with silver. That's the way business is done. I remember a Romanian businessman I was teaching English to when I was in Bucharest years ago, and he's on the phone to this woman in Turkey saying that my boss is willing to do this, but by the way, he wants something for it. He wants money. And my Romanian student said, no, the values of the company, we're completely straight down the line. We do not do anything unethical. So I don't know if they got the contract in the end. Although Ukrainian tourists can't go quite so much, even some Ukrainian refugees have gone to Turkey, but they'll get no financial aid, only those with a bit of money. There were quite a few flights between Kiev and Istanbul before that. So initially, it did hurt the Turkish economy. Supply chains were complicated. It drove inflation up in the short term. But the Bayraktar TB2 drones, those are Turkish ones, some of the cheapest ones in the market, they have proved their worth, and the Ukrainians have used them a lot, helped to save Ukraine. Cruciality of Turkey to NATO really matters. Remember, it's got the second largest military in NATO in terms of manpower. And, it's got a Black Sea coast, it's got a Mediterranean Sea coast, it's got borders with Georgia, and Iran, Iraq, Syria. So it's in a vital position. Their goal of joining the European Union is kicked way back. Two-thirds of Turks say they don't want to join. They're so frustrated to have waited so long. Remember, accession talks have been frozen for them. Now, parallels could be drawn between Russia's illegal occupation of 19% of Ukraine and Turkey's illegal occupation of 33% of Cyprus, because there's, of course, the so-called Turkish Republic of North Cyprus, which is recognized by Turkey and nobody else. The Russians would pretend to be the Turks, be sympathetic on that one, speaking out of both sides of their mouth, and obviously telling the Cypriots and the Greeks that they take their side in this issue. So Erdogan has met Putin since this has happened. Putin, I don't think he's actually visit Turkey. There was a possibility at the start of last year, of Zelensky meeting Putin in Turkey. Putin said, well, let's meet face-to-face in Turkey. And Zelensky called his bluff. Yes, I will. And went there. And Putin didn't show up. It shows what a bad faith actor is, what a blatant liar he is. Only Trump seems stupid enough to trust him. So Turkey has emerged. It's a vital position has been underscored by this. So they've actually gained from it economically. They've also allowed Russia to circumvent sanctions by buying sanctioned goods and selling them on illegally, despite a not-for-resale clause in the contract in many cases. Their economic linkage between Turkey and Ukraine has grown even more intimate with the free trade agreement. They've got rid of tariffs on most products between the two. Fuel, metals, textiles, machinery are sold either way. But Turkey exports a lot to Ukraine. Ukraine doesn't export that much back. Of course, Ukraine doesn't have very much to export because it has to emphasize war production. A lot of the economically viable areas are under illegal occupation. People have been killed, wounded, conscripted, the military fled the country and so forth. So Turks have more of a vested interest in Ukraine winning because of their multi-billion dollar investments. And supposedly they're going to rebuild the country after the war, whenever that is. So the Turks are keen to see this war end. Doesn't have to be outright Ukrainian victory, but Russia gaining even more land would make it difficult for Turkey. So why Western countries, they could have pushed Turkey. You've got to stop helping Russia and break the sanctions. Okay, there's things you're not sanctioning them, but we said they can't get this good and that good and so on. Your Turkish banks, you facilitated their workarounds. So they could threaten secondary sanctions on Turkey, but they don't want to push the Turks too hard, lest they be even more sympathetic to Russia, sell military equipment to the Russians or something like that. How could you do it? You could ban flights from European Union countries to Turkey to hurt their tourist sector. But on the other hand, the Turks say, well, we've got no choice apart from, manufacturing military hardware for the Russians or something to make up the shortfall. So they don't want to push them in that direction. Nobody in Turkey, so far as I know, has advocated for sanctions on Russia. Why would they shoot themselves in the foot economically? So they're doing what's best for them, and it's working for them. So, and if this war ends, they won't have quite so many sweetheart deals with both sides. Okay, Oxymiron, the well-known Russian rapper and anti-war activist, he spent some time in Turkey. Right, so if you go to any of these Turkish tourist resorts, you'll see a lot of signs up in Russian. When I went to my Turkish bath in Marmaris last year, then the staff initially addressed me in Russian, which I speak, but I had to say, a member of my group does not. Right, thanks you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate PayPal, georgecannon7@gmail.com. Goodbye.